Hey, this is Randy Rand from Autograph, and you're listening to the Industry 45 Podcast Show. You need to listen to it. You need to turn it up.
This is the Industry 45 Podcast Show with Shane Christopher Neal.
So some time went by, and I still didn't really get the, you know, that gusto, that kick in the ass to get up and go. And what actually did it was I was playing in a group and we were opening for Gowan. And Paul DeLong, who's a professor at Humber College and also was the former drummer of Kim Mitchell, he was playing in Gowan's band and was doing master classes. And that day, so I took a master class with him, got some advice on some stuff, and then said, you know, I told him I was opening for you tonight. Could you come and check me out before, you know, before you play? And he was nice enough to show up, you know, before his show and caught me playing a few shows. I gave him a demo. He ended up calling me on the phone when he got back to Toronto. He's like, I really think you would do well in Toronto. So, you know what? Those encouraging words from Paul, if I never received that call, he was so kind to actually pick the phone up and call me. Like, you know, not everybody does stuff like that. And it's sometimes it's something so small of, you know, that little bit of encouragement that makes that kid go, you know what, I can do it. And he believes in me too, because, you know, that's something you have doubt in your mind. So kind of actually, I'll tie that into what you asked. Did you ever think like, yeah, you know what, I got it? I would probably around before the time I moved to Halifax or moved to Toronto, I would say to myself more so than not, like, do I got it? You know, more questioning myself, you know,
right.
Almost, the, you know, a little bit of self-doubt, because being out there, you really have nothing to gauge yourself to.
Right.
It's like, where do you stand? You know, you don't really know. And, but, you know, I have to say though, going to Berkeley, that was a big eye opener and a big, you know, reality. You go there and you're surrounded by amazing players.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny in the story though, you're talking about all these amazing players and you were talking about Rob, and I know Rob well, that's why I was kind of throwing it out there. And actually, and then you mentioned Randy Cook, and Rob hooked me up with doing an interview with Randy Cook, who's out in LA now. So it's funny how you kind of just meet these people that take you on this journey, and just like you're doing it in drumming, people on another avenue are doing it for me. You know, it's amazing how that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
So I was just going to say, like, you know, like having confidence is a definite. You got to have confidence, but obviously in ego is another thing. Having an ego and being overly cocky is not a good thing for the business. You know, some people always saw me as like, you know, me confident. And it's funny because I never saw myself or felt that I had confidence. You know, I'm hand sweating when I get on stage. I get butterflies. I get a sick stomach, you know, like, and from time to time, depending on the show, I still do, you know. But I'm just going to jump back to the Berkeley thing. When I was there, some of the people around me, and people are going to know some of these names that were graduating when I was there or attending at the same time. One, John Blackwell, who ended up being Prince's drummer forever.
Playing with Prince, right.
Yeah. And also he performed, I think he performed, and then Justin Timberlake. Those is Aretha Franklin. Those are some, I think he did Aretha as well. Those are some of the big names he performed with. As well, Abe Laboriel Jr. from Paul McCartney. He was graduating when I got there. Takuya, he plays for he's a percussionist. I think he was doing stuff with Janet Jackson. And Brendan Buckley, I believe Brendan was going to Berkeley as well, and he plays with Shakira. And one other guy that was in my residence on the floor, a guy named Derek, can't remember his last name, he ended up playing with Jessica Simpson's guy. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. I can picture him now, but yeah. I can't think of what his name is either.
Yeah. Her husband.
Nice.
So there was a lot of guys. And lastly, John Blackwell, or Little John Roberts, sorry. And Little John Roberts was playing with Will Smith and got off a tour and decided to go to Berkeley. And he ended up playing with Janet Jackson. He plays with Stevie Wonder. And, you know, so, I mean, there were some big names coming out of Berkeley. So when you're surrounded by these players, you are humbled.
Yes, I totally get that. What about your, you play with Deli Furtado as well?
Yeah. So I'll eventually get to that one. I then, you know, I get my minivan. I drive to Toronto. I'm sleeping on a floor of someone that I really don't know very well. And I gave their phone number out to a few people. And so one day I'm just laying there, you know, and the phone rings and I'm like, do I answer it? So anyway, pick it up and it's a guy saying, hi, this is Rick Emmett's manager. We're looking for Dave Langeth. I'm like, I think it's someone kidding, right? And so I had given the number out to Randy and I didn't even think about that. And they're like, no, Randy, seriously, Randy Cook highly recommended you to do the gig. Are you interested? So I'm like, let me check in my book and see if I am. So I picked up a schedule book, which was empty, and I just started flipping pages. I don't know why I did that. make them think that I have something else. And I flipped through it and I'm like, oh yeah, I am available. They're like, okay, great. Randy says you can play really well and you'll do a great job. And anyway, it was like, go out to Rick Emmett's house and go in his basement and rehearse a couple rehearsals. And that was probably the most nerve-wracking moment of my entire life. Yeah. I remember sweating buckets. I'm knocking on his door and I hear him down in his basement go with a high voice. He's like, I'm downstairs. You know, just come down. I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's Rick Emmett. Oh my God. And anyway, really super cool guy. And I'll tell you one thing. It's little things again like this. Rick was really, really cool. I was shitting bricks. I was really, really nervous. And I remember, I think it was the first song we played was a song called Drive Time off a solo record. And it literally is like a single bass drum, Hot for Teacher.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that tempo with almost a full 1 foot shuffle, kind of going really, really fast. And we started playing it and my tempo just went out the door. Like I was just, cause I was freaking out. I was so nervous. And he stops, he puts his hand up, he stops playing. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, let's pull it back there. He goes, it's okay, man. Don't worry about anything. You know, let's take a breath, relax. He knew I was nervous.
Sure.
And it could have gone a different way. He could have been that guy that was like, yo, man, this ain't working. Like, you got to slow down. No. He was just like, it's cool, man. Everything's good. And let's try it again. And we played it again. We got through it. And he's like, okay, next song. We played Late on the Line. I think we made it to the second chorus. He's like, you know it. Next song. And he kind of just started skimming through the stuff really quick. I'm like, oh, man. Like, I literally got the live version, which everything was different than the Triumph live version.
Sure.
Yeah, it was like epic, like, crazy stuff to learn. And you know, I learn Randy Cook's fills, I learn his beats. That's one thing that I've always made a point of, is when I learn a show, I verbatim write every nuance of the show on a chart. I write every dynamic, every fill, everything, and I try to go in playing it like the main drummer plays it.
Nice.
And lots of the times, you know, like Rick even like, you know, you don't have to do that fill like that. Of course, that's the way I know it now, and I do it for a while until you get comfortable, and then you can start making it your own. And I find it goes a long way, and the artists that you work for appreciate that more. They're comfortable. They know what's coming. You're not surprising them with anything. And eventually, when they're comfortable and confident with you, you can start to open up, and usually they ask for it. Like, and you know, Kim was the same way, you know, and you know, it's like, you don't have to do it like that. How do you want to do it? And they actually give you a little bit of artistic flavor. And I find that the bigger the artists, the better, the top artists, I don't say the bigger the top artists that are actually out there, I find that they're more like that. They're just more, what's your voice? And they give you a little bit of freedom.
Right.
I'm going to jump back into that one a little later with Nelly. So through this period of time, I was filling in for Randy Cook, doing a bunch of Rick Emmett gigs for quite a while. Like it, you know, I think I was involved doing shows here and there for 5 years. And then in the meantime, like, I did a few shows with Alana, and Sass was on a show. So I never really toured with Sass, but performed with her and Alana as well together on the same show. That was interesting. And then, yeah, just then the phone started ringing of, like, doing every nook and cranny gig. Like, I took everything. Every $50 gig, every coffee shop gig, every booze can gig that was, like, going till 5 a.m. until things got to a point where, like, you got to get me a drum set there, because if the police raid this place, I don't want to lose everything that I have. So, yeah, you take everything. And when you're living off of it, you're not doing a day job or anything else. You have to pay your rent. Beggars can't be choosers. That is very relevant in the music business. And you have to take everything. If you sit back and go, I don't want to do it, you're not going to do anything.
Right, right. Somebody will find to do that gig, and then they'll just get all of the opportunities.
Yeah. There is a certain point where you start to play higher level gigs, where you make more money, that you start to be more picky and choosy. And sometimes it doesn't mean that you're playing with bad players. You don't want to play with them. It's just you start to, you know, there's standards that you have to start setting. Sometimes you might take a gig that pays a little, like a really low amount of money, because you know it does, but it's a fun gig and you want to do it, you know?
Right, yeah.
So you do that. Obviously, on a prestigious gig, there is money to be made, and you shouldn't be nickel and dimed, and you should be paid what you're worth. Sometimes what you're worth and what you believe you're worth and what you know you're worth isn't what the scene or the industry standard is saying, though, unfortunately.
Right. I got a question on that, though. Like, so if you and I don't want, like, dollar figures, but do they ask you, listen, what do you want to get paid to do this gig or this tour, or do they come to you with a contract and say, this is what we pay to do this?
Yeah, lots of times people come to you and ask, okay. And they want you to throw the ball first, right? And okay. and the reality is, like, now I go, I know what I'm worth.
Sure.
I know, for all the musicians listening out there and young musicians who don't know, there's a point where it's hard sometimes to figure out what you're worth, because you don't know. You have nothing to gauge it off of, and people don't speak the numbers. And people, you know, you keep your business to yourself. Like, I'm, you know, what you make. I'm not going to sit here on the show and tell you how much I make for shows and blah, blah, blah. You know, you can call me for that one.
so you're doing well. So you're in Ontario, you're doing well. And then what's next? You know,
so, well, I'll jump into I'll just keep going forward here to the chronologically to the Nelly thing. I was getting on the 5-year itch where I gave myself 5 years, same thing. I'm like, man, you know what? If something astronomical doesn't happen, I'm going to LA. And it was kind of going that way, like, totally, I'm going to LA. And it was on the 5th year. I was starting to figure out how I'm going there. And I don't know if you know Bruce Moffat. He used to play with Corey Hart.
Yeah, yes, I do.
Well, at that time, he was backlining Thai drums for drummers that were endorsed and supplying them. And also, he has a backline company. So I was just hanging out with Bruce one day and picking up some drum stuff, and he's like, how are things going, Dave? And I'm like, not a lot of work right now. It kind of slowed down. I was getting antsy. I'm on my 5th year. I'm not happy. And my biggest, what made me very unhappy was being in Toronto. It's a small place. I know some guys are going to hear this out there, and so be it. You know, people that, you know, are like, yeah, buddy, not one person would ever plug me in and let me know about auditions for any of the major acts. The only person that really kind of brought me close to something like that was Randy, who thank him so much for allowing me to come into that scene around people like Rick Emmett. It was very, very kind of him to do that. And you know, the bottom line is, like, can I have an audition? Can someone audition me? If I get it, great. If I don't get it, great. I can handle it. It's give me an opportunity,
right,
to try.
The chance, you know? Sure.
Yeah, that's it. And it just never happened. And then Bruce was like, don't tell anybody, but you know, here, Nelly Furtado's looking for a drummer. Like, what? I'm like, nobody even breathed a word of this. And I guess all the guys that were the guys in the scene, they all auditioned already. It was already, I believe it was already finished. And I'm like, who do I talk to? And he gave me the music director's name. I didn't have a number. I called the musicians union. I'm like, yeah, I lost his phone number. Can you give me his phone number? And they're like, okay. And they gave me his phone number. I called him up. And he, the first thing, who told you? I get yelled at. I'm like, oh man. I'm like,
so where did this happen? In Toronto or in Los Angeles?
Yeah, in Toronto.
In Toronto. Okay.
Yeah. So it was like, what are you doing Wednesday? I'm like, nothing. Meet me at this rehearsal place. So I showed up with my sticks and that was it, and walked in. And it was video cameras all around the room. So initially, first reaction in my head was like, don't look at any of those cameras. Don't ever look at that side of the room, Dave. Right. And I didn't really know any Nelly stuff. I think it was I'm Like a Bird. I played a couple times in a cover band. And I wasn't really asked to play full songs. It was like, listen to this drum groove, because that was the cool thing about Nelly's gig. There was like electronic Latin beats, and then there was like hip hop beats, and then there was like almost like some of the songs had almost like jungle grooves, and then some were like pop and rock ish. So, and then a reggae feel in there, you know, like it was a smattered bunch of feels. Well, lucky me. I spent a lot of time of my learning process learning Latin rhythms, Brazilian rhythms, reggae rhythms, hip hop rhythms, rock, metal, pop, funk, hip hop, trip hop, you know, any of the different feels. You know, I really try to verse myself in different grooves and patterns and whatever. Tower of Power grooves, you know, fusion grooves mixed with funk, fusion mixed with Latin. That's what Tower of Power was.
Sure.
So physically, I had the capability to play those grooves relatively quick. So when I was asked, here, listen to this and play that, I tried to do it as quick as I can. It's like, is this a trick question? Do I have to get it immediately, or do I have a couple seconds to get it? So I still was able to learn those patterns pretty quick and play them back. And they're like, okay, play this. Now play this groove. And my favorite part of the whole audition was, okay, play 8 bars of this beat, play 8 bars of this thing, and then do a drum solo.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, Nelly Furtado? Yeah. I'm like, drum solo. So, you know, it's like, do they want to see everything I can do? Or, no, you know what? Play mature, play simple, stupid, keep the vibe. And that's what I did. I just played, I just kept the feel going of what we were playing and then improvised around it. And they liked it, and less than a week later, I got a phone call, pick up the CD. I thought it was like audition number two. And it was like, no, do you want the gig? So that was that. I ended up playing in Nelly's band.
Thanks for listening to the Industry 45 Podcast Show. Check out all podcasts at GiantTV.ca, GiantFM.com, Country89.com, and Giant TV Niagara on YouTube.